Well, good evening, everyone. You're very, very welcome to this gathering of Carrickfergus Baptist Church. This is one of our Why Jesus events. We are doing this over 5 Sunday evenings. This is the 4th one we have done. And really the purpose of our Why Jesus is to encourage people to think about putting faith in Jesus Christ. If you're a visitor here this evening, my name is Peter. I'm one of the pastors here in the church. But if you could meet anybody, if you could meet anybody from the past, anybody in world history, and you could ask them one question, I wonder who you would choose. Who would you choose to meet, and what one question would you ask them? Perhaps you would pick a world leader, somebody like Winston Churchill, maybe somebody like Hitler. You could ask him a good question. Why did you do it? Maybe you're into sport, you would pick some famous sports star from the past, or maybe even the present. And a question you would like to ask them, maybe a great social reformer, a scientist, an inventor. The list is endless, isn't it? One person from the past, ask them one question, what would you ask them? Professor C.M. Jude was a well-known academic and actually a television presenter from about 50 years ago, would have presented television programs on the BBC, and he was once asked that same question. If you could pick anybody from world history and ask them one question, who would you choose and what would you ask them? Now, Professor Jude wasn't a Christian, but here's what he said. This was his answer to that. I would meet Jesus Christ and ask him the most important question in all the world. Did you or did you not rise from the dead? I'll read that again. I would meet Jesus Christ and ask him the most important question in all the world. Did you or did you not rise from the dead? He describes the resurrection of Jesus Christ as the most important question in all the world, whether it's true or not. And that's what we want to consider here this evening as we come to our 4th week of Why Jesus. 5 nights with 5 things, 5 reasons we encourage people to think about and put their faith in Jesus Christ. We've looked at 3 other ones, and we've come to week 4. It's the one in bold. Why Jesus? Because he rose again from the dead. And why is the answer to that question so important? Let me read what the Bible actually says about it. I want to read from the New Testament. I want to read some verses from 1 Corinthians and chapter 15. If you've got a Bible, you can follow along with me. If you don't have a Bible, don't worry about that. You can just listen as I read it publicly here. So it's 1 Corinthians, it's chapter 15. I'm going to read verses 12 through to 22. First Corinthians 15 says, "Now if Christ is proclaimed as raised from the dead, how can some of you say there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain, and your faith is in vain. We're even found to be misrepresenting God, because we testified about God that he raised Christ, whom he did not raise, if it's true that the dead are not raised. For if the dead are not raised, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins. Then those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in Christ we have hope in this life only, we are all people most to be pitied. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For as by a man came death, by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive." You see, the credibility of Christianity, the credibility of the message that I preach from this pulpit every single week hangs on this belief of whether Jesus Christ rose again from the dead or not. Let me read verse 14 again. That's what the Bible says. "And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain and your faith is in vain." In other words, if Jesus Christ hasn't really risen from the dead, everything we do tonight, in fact, everything we do on a Sunday is a complete waste of time. If Jesus Christ is still dead, lock the doors of this building. Lock the doors and never, ever come back. We've been singing a song already this evening. We sing songs all the time here in church. It's a huge part of our worship services. And that's what we think we do. We're not just singing to entertain ourselves. We sing them as a song of praise, of worship to our Savior, Jesus Christ. But if Jesus Christ is still dead, what a waste of time. It's just vain if you're singing to somebody who can't actually hear it. And why put your faith in a dead man? Why put your faith in somebody who can't save himself? If he cannot save himself, how's he ever going to save me, and how's he ever going to save you? That's what people say. Jesus Christ is the Savior. If he can't save himself, how can he save people like us? But if Jesus Christ did rise again from the dead, then that changes everything. I'm going to put a quotation up on the screen here. This was said, written by a man called Tim Keller. Tim Keller is a Presbyterian minister in New York City, and he said these words: "If Jesus rose from the dead, then you have to accept all that he said. If he didn't rise from the dead, then why worry about any of what he said? So if he did rise from the dead, you've got to accept he's somebody unique, he's somebody worth listening to, and what he says has importance, but if he didn't rise again from the dead, don't worry yourself. See what we find in the Bible, this book I've just read? Just ignore it." And then he goes on and says these words: "The issue on which everything hangs is not whether or not you like his teaching, but whether or not he rose from the dead." So it doesn't come down to our personal opinion. Do we like the message of the Bible or we don't like it? It's whether he rose again, whether he was somebody unique, whether he was somebody truly from God, whether he was God himself. And if he did rise again from the dead, then we need to take note of what he says. You see, the resurrection is at the heart of the Christian faith. We have lots of doctrines that we believe as a church, but the key doctrine, the most important doctrine that we believe as a church, is this one here, that Jesus Christ rose again from the dead. Everything hangs on that truth. If Jesus didn't rise, then it's just a waste of time. But can we believe it? This is the 21st century, 2018. How can we believe that somebody came back to life again? It sounds far-fetched, doesn't it? It sounds like a fairy tale, something you'd read in a children's story. How could people today still believe that somebody came back to life again? There's lots of different reasons why people believe it. Lots of reasons I could stand here and go through this evening. I'm not going to go through all the reasons. What I'm going to do instead is show a very short video. It's just a couple of minutes long, where somebody share some of the thoughts on why they believe Jesus Christ rose again from the dead. It's a short video that I actually showed here in church on Easter Sunday, but I think it's very relevant to what we're talking about this evening. So let's have a look and let's have a listen.
When I was an atheist and legal editor of the Chicago Tribune, I would have smirked at the fact that Easter this year falls on April Fool's Day. Because back then, I thought that anyone would have to be a fool to think that Jesus literally rose from the dead. One day, my wife gave me the news that she'd become a Christian. And so I decided to take my journalism training and legal training and debunk the resurrection of Jesus. So I spent 2 years of my life analyzing the historical data. And what I found really shocked me. I recounted in my book, The Case for Miracles. First of all, I found that there's no dispute among scholars that Jesus was dead after being crucified. The famous atheist New Testament scholar Gerd Ludemann says it's historically indisputable that he was dead. The Journal of the American Medical Association says that based on the historical and medical evidence, that Jesus was clearly dead even before the wound to his side was inflicted. Second, we have early reports of the resurrection of Jesus. Reports that come so quickly, you can't just write them off as being a legend. In fact, we have one report of the resurrection, including named eyewitnesses, that has been dated back by scholars to within months of the death of Jesus. Friends, that is historical gold. Third, we have the empty tomb, and I found that even the opponents of Jesus implicitly conceded that the tomb of Jesus was empty. And then fourth, we have 9 ancient sources inside and outside the New Testament confirming and corroborating the conviction of the disciples that they encountered the resurrected Jesus. Friends, that is an avalanche of historical data. And then we have 7 ancient sources inside and mostly outside the New Testament that confirmed that the disciples lived lives of deprivation and suffering as a result of their proclamation that Jesus had risen. Why were they willing to do that? Because they heard a rumor that he'd risen? No, because they were there. They touched him. They ate with him. They talked with him. They knew the truth. And knowing the truth, they were willing to proclaim it, even despite the suffering they endured. Friends, I spent 2 years investigating this evidence. And it came down to one day when I reviewed it all and I thought, you know what? Based on the historical data, my verdict is that Jesus not only claimed to be the Son of God, he backed up that claim by returning from the dead. And that's the moment that I decided to confess my sin, to turn from that, to receive this free gift of forgiveness and eternal life that Jesus purchased for me on the cross. And at that moment, I became a child of God. Some people have a rush of emotion at that moment. I didn't. You know what I had? I had the rush of reason. Because the resurrection of Jesus is not some April Fool's Day joke. It is a historical reality based not on mythology or make-believe or wishful thinking, but a solid foundation of historical truth. And when I was an atheist and legal editor...
You probably don't want to see that again. It's a very short video. It lays out some points. Obviously, it's a very quick summary of some of the key points. If you want to explore that further, I would encourage you to read Lee Strobel's book there. That was the man in the video. It's The Case for Miracles. There's another book called The Case for Christ. And just to take your time to look at it, to think about it, and to study it in more detail as well. But if Jesus Christ did rise from the dead, it does many things. It changes many things. And we're going to think about four of them very briefly here this evening. And the first one is on the screen. Why the resurrection is so important. And if it is true that Jesus rose again from the dead, it changes things. It shows me that Jesus Christ is God. That's what Jesus claimed himself. Read that in the Gospels. When Jesus came here into the world, he claimed to be God. He lived here in human form, but he made those outrageous claims himself. And so as a church, on Sunday mornings, we've been working our way through John's Gospel. And in John's Gospel, we have those famous I am statements. I am the light of the world. I am the bread of life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. These statements that Jesus made. And as we studied them, we looked at basically what Jesus was saying is, I am God. That's what he's saying. I'm not like any other human being. I am God in human flesh living here in the world. Jesus identified as himself as God, and the Bible tells us that he lived a life that was different from my life. He did things here on earth that I certainly couldn't do. It tells us that he performed miracles. And as we've worked our way through John's Gospel on Sunday mornings, we've seen that those miracles are called signs. And really the purpose of these miracles is they're like signposts. And when you see a signpost, you follow where it's pointing. And the purpose of the miracles that Jesus did was we would look at it and say, well, this is pointing us in a direction. This is somebody unique. This is a special. And as we follow the signs, what do the signs point to? Jesus Christ is divine. That Jesus Christ really is the Son of God. One of the other things Jesus did when he lived here on earth is he actually told his followers and listeners that he was going to die, but he would rise again 3 days later. He predicted his death, and he predicted his own resurrection. And that's what the Bible records, that Jesus rose again. And that's what history recounts as well, as we saw in that video clip. That is the ultimate sign that this is somebody unique. That he lived, that he died, and that he rose again. That's what the resurrection shows us, that Jesus Christ, if it happened, really is God. Here's the second thing it shows us. It means that forgiveness is possible. Last week, if you were here last Sunday night, Paul was taking our service, and we thought about the death of Jesus Christ, what had happened 3 days before his resurrection on Easter Sunday when he died on the cross. And one of the key words Paul used last Sunday evening was the word substitute. That's a key understanding of why Jesus died on the cross. Jesus willingly went to the cross to act as a substitute. He took our place. He didn't deserve to die on a cross. He died there with criminals on either side. He was an innocent man. He'd lived a perfect life. And yet he went there as our substitute. He was taking our place for the wrong things that we have done. Because a holy God isn't going to turn his back on sin. God would not be true to himself. The wrong things we've done need to be punished. That's justice. But God in his love sent the substitute, Jesus, who took the justice, who took our punishment, who took our place. That's what the story of the cross is all about. We thought about it last Sunday evening. It's what we call the gospel. The word gospel really means good news. And that's the good news of the Bible, that Jesus came because he loved us to take our place, to be our substitute. But that would be completely pointless if Jesus Christ had been killed and remained in the tomb. It's only good news if Jesus Christ rose again. If Jesus Christ had remained dead, his death would mean absolutely nothing for me. And his death would mean absolutely nothing for you as well. He'd be like any other human being. He was born, he lived a life, and then he died. So I've already said he's called the Savior of the world. A dead man can't save you, can he? A man in a tomb can make no difference for your life. If he is not risen, we are still without hope. The Bible says if he is not risen, we are still dead in our sins. We're facing the judgment and the justice of God for the wrong things we've done. But if he is alive, we're able to call out to him. And he can hear us, he can answer us, and he can save us from our sins as well. That's what the Bible says. Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. If he's dead, pointless. But if Jesus is risen again, it means forgiveness is possible. Here's the third thing, 3 out of 4 reasons. It gives meaning to our life here now on earth. That's a question people often ask, isn't it? It's one of the deep questions people think about in their minds, maybe tossing in bed at night. Is there meaning to life? This life here, is this all there is? Whatever our life might be, 60 years, 70 years, maybe 90 years, whatever, living here. What's it all about? Is this all there is to it? Now, if this life is all we've got, you live for a short period of time, then you die and go to the grave, if that's what it's all about, then eat, drink, and be merry, as the Bible puts it in one of the parables. If this is it, do whatever you want. If this life counts for nothing, do what you want, when you want, and how you want it. But if Jesus Christ has risen again from the dead, and Jesus Christ offers that same resurrection life to those who have trusted in him, if there is life after death, then life takes on a new meaning. And life takes on a new purpose. The Apostle Paul is somebody we discover in the pages of the Bible. He was somebody who hated Jesus. He hated this message that Jesus' followers were going around saying that Jesus had risen again from the dead and Jesus was the Savior of the world. And you read his story in the book of Acts, how he hated Christians, the name of Christ so much, that he actually put followers of Jesus Christ to death until he discovered the truth of Jesus. And his life was remarkably changed. And he spent the rest of his life telling other people this good news that Jesus Christ died for sins, had risen again, and could be their Savior the way it changed his life. And he wrote a number of letters to churches that we find in the New Testament. He wrote lots of the parts of the New Testament. And in his letter to the church that met in Philippi, the book of Philippians, as we find in the New Testament, he writes these words. He says this, "For me to live is Christ, to die is gain. For me to live is Christ." What's he saying there? That's the real reason I live. That's the main purpose in my life. I no longer live for myself. There's something greater. The one who created this world, the one who loved me so much and died on a cross, the one who rose again has called me to himself, who's changed my life. He's the reason I live. He's given me a meaning and a purpose. I want to live a life that is holy and pleasing to him. For me to live is Christ. That's the meaning. I've got a meaning in life now. And then here's the interesting bit. For me to live is Christ, the next bit he says is, but to die is gain. What does he believe there? That death isn't the end. There's something actually after this life, and it's gain. It's actually better than life here on earth. Often we talk about death as loss, don't we say that? Somebody in your family dies, I'm sorry for your loss. And from a human point of view, death is loss. We've lost somebody we love deeply. But from a spiritual point of view, for those who are trusting in Jesus Christ, who offers eternal life to those who follow him, death is not loss. Death is gain. We gain eternal life with Christ forever and ever. It gives meaning to life. And then fourthly and finally, it gives us hope in the face of death. Woody Allen, actor, film director, comedian, famously said these words, "I'm not afraid of death. I just don't want to be there when it happens." And I think many people can resonate with those words. I'm not afraid of death. I just don't want to be there when it happens. Most people don't like to think about death, do we? That's something you push to the back of your mind. We don't want to even go there. We don't want to talk about it, and so we maybe joke about it. Even when somebody dies and you go into the house of a friend or a family member when they've died and people are around there, it's all these awkward conversations. We don't know what to say because we don't know how to handle death. Now, I'm a pastor, and death is something I face on a regular basis within a congregation, within a church. I am actually on first-name terms with every undertaker in Carrickfergus. It's nothing to boast about, but it comes with the job that I do. And so when my mobile phone rings, I know who's ringing me. I know it's an undertaker, and somebody connected with our church has died. So often, it's also part of my job here as a pastor, as I regularly sit at deathbeds. People connected with our congregation, maybe who have terminal illness, sit at their bed with their family members in their final hours of life. There's been several occasions already this year where I've done that. And it's not pleasant. Sit watching somebody taking their final breath. It's sad. It's difficult. It's traumatic. It's not a pleasant place to be. But a belief in the resurrection of Jesus Christ changes everything. Jesus Christ said these words in John 11. He actually said it at a tomb. One of his close friends, Lazarus, had died, and he said these words, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, even though they die, yet shall they live." He says, "I am the resurrection. I'm the one who gives life. Whoever believes in me, even though they die, yet die here on earth, yet shall they live." He's speaking about life after this, eternal life. And then he asked a question at the end. He said, "Do you believe this? Do you believe I'm the one who gives life? I am the resurrection and the life." That's the great hope of the Christian. That really changes things when you're sitting on a deathbed, when somebody has that hope, that death is not the end, but the best is still yet to be. When we die, it's not the end. What does the Bible say for those who are believers? It says they're absent from this human body, which is fading away, and present with their Lord and Savior. Present with him in a place where there's no tears, no sadness, a place of everlasting joy. And how is that possible? It's possible because he is risen. If Jesus Christ had remained dead, we would have no hope. Pointless. Death would be the end. But because he lived, because he rose again, we can live also. I read earlier from 1 Corinthians 15. And these were the last verses I read at the end of the passage. Let me read it again. It says, "For as by a man came death, by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead." It's speaking about what happens in the story of the Bible, because the Bible starts with a first man called Adam, who disobeyed God, who went against him. And the punishment of that came into the world, which was death. So for as by a man, that's Adam who lived there at the start, came death, by a man has also come the resurrection of the dead. Who's that man? It's Jesus, who came into the world to reverse what happened, to bring life instead of death. Then it goes on, "For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive." If we're still in Adam, just as normal humans, yes, we'll all die, but also in Christ. To be in Christ is a phrase that really means to be joined to Christ, to be one of his followers. If you're in Christ, all will be made alive. That is the great hope of the Christian. If there's no resurrection, don't come back to this church next week. Don't waste your time. Don't come back to these services. But if Jesus Christ did rise again from the dead, well, he must be God, and he must be worth listening to. Let me finish with his own words. I quoted them a few minutes ago. Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die." And here's the question. Do you believe this? Do you believe it? And if you do, then you need to do something about it. You need to trust Jesus Christ. You need to take his words seriously, and you need to obey him and follow him.